It's a plague in today's Christianity that people don't know how to do things without motivation. People do things for what they are going to get. All our testimonies begin on how things happen, but it must always end with how we got. Faith does not mean you always get. People say God never says no. Let me just say, I don't know the meaning of no, so let's not argue it. But if he says everything your heart ever desires, you will get, is not true. And I said to you the other time, the first assignment of faith in your life is to teach you contentment. It's not to get you money. It's not to get you a husband, to get you a wife, to get you children. It's to teach you contentment. That's the first assignment of faith. When we run up and down, looking for how to learn the method by which I can get, they deviate from the pursuit of righteousness. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 there, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Once we are seeking how we get something out, it is called sowing to the flesh. You must always look at your life as having two, you know, I say this all the time. There are two reasons you are alive. Number one, I said, is to establish righteousness. That is, both in your personal life and through you on the earth. That's number one. And that's for everybody. And then number two, God wants you to bless people by your existence. And if you look at it, we are back to it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is, your thoughts, your desires, everything you concern yourself with must be how to have yourself transformed with the word of God so that obeying God's word, let me put it like that, is what comes to you naturally. It must be a concern. Now, let me say it again. It must be a concern. You should be concerned. When you want to sow seed, in quote, if you have to sow seed, you should be asking yourself, what seed do I sow so that I will be patient? Are you getting my point? What seed do I sow so I will forgive people and not bear a grudge? What seed will I sow so that I will just help people and not be asking, what will I get in return? Once I was somewhere, a man preached. When he finished preaching, a brother who used to come for meetings here, he walked up to me. He said, please, I just want to get your opinion on what that man said. I said, it was arrant nonsense. He said, okay, I just wanted to be sure. I agree with you. Why? Because the man was preaching. He was talking about why it's important to help people. Now, if you believe you should help people, say amen.
Amen.
That it was the reason he gave that was the issue. He said, if he sees you in need, he will give you the kind of money that you will never forget. That's good. Except that tomorrow when you will have prospered, he will tell his son, go and meet that guy. Tell him that my father said you will help me. Say, why? Because there was a particular day, say, he would describe that incident, said the man would never forget, so he would help his son. And we sat down that day, and this man was preaching. He went on and on. By the time we finished, after we all dispersed, this brother walked up to me and said, please, sir, I just want to get your opinion on what that man said. I said, he talks nonsense. He said, thank you, sir. That's what we do a lot as Christians. When I say it like that, it's easy to understand for people that is, oh, doing it to God, and that doing it to another human being is bad. But we think we can do it to God. What I say to you again, it's just as bad. It's just as bad. It's just as bad. One thing you must live here with, or you walk towards, is how to do good works just for the sake of doing. That is, take satisfaction. Derive joy from the fact that you did it. Derive joy sitting in your corner and seeing somebody helped. Somebody was near death. God gave you the resources, gave you the ability to draw him out of his troubles. And then he recovers, he's alive, he's well, but he does not even know it was you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You must get to that point. That is, what am I deriving joy from doing righteousness? Now, this is the interesting part. Now, you must understand it, and this is what causes confusion. in Christianity, when people are teaching, this is the interesting part. It is only those, now let me be like this. It is actually those, who have reached the point in which it wouldn't move them, whether God gave to them in return or not. They are the ones that he gives to abundantly in return. The time God will pour that abundance on you, let me warn you ahead of time, is that time when you wouldn't even care whether he did or he didn't. I don't know what I have to say. God will pour grace to prosper heavily upon you after you've crossed the point in which if he never gave you any material thing, you wouldn't be bothered. That's the interesting part. The way it is with God is this. You labor, you want to get. God first takes you to a place where you don't want anything anymore. Then he gives to you. As long as you are still wanting, you are far from getting. The mistake I find with Christianity, a lot of the teaching we do this is, why it's inaccurate, is that people focus on the thing they are getting, they are looking for. They focus on it so much they can't get it. You want a husband? You want a wife? Sketch the kind of husband you want, the kind of wife. Put it on the wall and begin to speak to it. Every day you wake up in the morning, speak to it. Say, husband, I command you to come. You will come right now. Anoint it with oil. So I see that the feet of that altar. They say, okay. You begin to call it. Now, have you noticed all your endeavors, you're focused on that thing that's in the wall. And I say to you again today, you will not get anything. That's spiritualism. He said, but this person did it and he got it. Babalawos also get results. But I can assure you of one thing, any result so gotten does not bring a blessing. There's what is called grace and great grace. Grace is when you focus on the serpent that was wound on the pole and healing comes to your body. When you focus on God, you focus on Christ. And the manifestation of God in this situation is just the love of righteousness. And all, now, let me tell you something about God. When he says something, he means it. And even if you were joking when he said it, because he's God, his joke becomes reality. When he said all other things will be added, he means all other things will be added. As long as you are focusing, listen, on the things that you want added, they will not be added. But when you take your eyes away from the things that you want added and focus on the love of righteousness, those things will be added. You will not even know when they were added. You just get used to their presence. One of the tactics that the devil uses in life to keep people in bondage is to bring their problems before their faces every day in such a manner that they focus on their problems all the time. I know preachers have said this. Maybe I haven't said it in the past. People say, sow a seed into the life of the man who has prospered. Let me say this to you. Arrant nonsense. What did I call it? You don't sow a seed into the life of a man that has prospered. The Bible says you are a brother to the one taken from the poor. If you behave like that. He said, can't I give to a man that has more money than me? What is the motivation? That's the issue. If it's somebody that was commanded that you should honor, then you have to do that. Like I always say all the time, if your father is a multimillionaire, it means nothing. When you are going home, Christmas time, holiday time, you shouldn't go empty-handed. You should pack gifts because the Bible says a son honors his father. Are you getting my point? But let me give into this person's life. I've heard that rubbish in many places. That this man has prospered so much to connect with his blessing. You show a shade into his life. Crap! It's Pentecostal witchcraft. Don't worry that you are shocked. it's expected. Because even most word of faith, a lot of word of people, they say it. But it's not true. I've told you before. If you want to give, let's take a man of God as an example. If you want, people say that you pour water on Elisha, poured water on Elijah's hands, and then the anointing fell on Elisha. So they say, therefore, what do? You pour water, look for a place where you'll be pouring water, service, you understand? But there's a mistake they make. There's one film I watched some time ago, true story, about they call it American Gangster. This was a black man, you understand, who became like a mafia boss in New York. Was it New York or New Jersey? Anyway, that axis. But this is the point about it. There was a place they were analyzing things. There was one black man before that who had died. They used to call him Bumpy. So they're saying that how can this boy do this? Now, because of the level. Now, this guy was shipping in pure heroin from Asia on American military planes. When they were analyzing it, the investigating officer, when he was talking to his superior said, are you meaning to tell me that this black boy did what even the Italian mafia could not do? And that was why they didn't suspect him for a long time, because the black man, they thought just no black boy, just normally low-level hoodlums. But this fellow was controlling even the Italian people, the Italian mafioso. But this is what I'm talking about. When the guy wanted to prove his point, he said, listen, Bumpy is dead. Who was Bumpy's driver? He mentioned that guy's name. Who did Bumpy spend all the time with? So that was him. Said this was Bumpy's butler, his right-hand man, his driver, his everything. He would carry Bumpy's clothes. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said he was with Bumpy when he died. Bumpy was there. He had a heart attack in the hospital, in a shop, and then he died. This was the man who stayed with him till he died. Then he made a statement. He said, who was Bumpy therefore most likely to teach? Did you catch that? We emphasize on he was driving Bumpy. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. We didn't realize that as he was pouring water, Elijah was pouring words. Elijah was pouring instructions. Elijah was passing his spirit down to Elisha. Why? Because the fellow was always present. We think it is the offering. Oh, God. Corrupt people. They like to monetize everything. We think it is the offering. It's not the offering. This is the Elisha that poured water on Elisha's hand. They were telling you about the relationship. The fact that this fellow was there all the time to hear Elijah's words. He understood how the prophet prayed. He understood how the prophet fasted. He understood how the prophet used music. He understood how the prophet controlled himself. He understood the words of God as they were coming fresh from the prophet's mouth. So you see, men who want to carry your bags, they don't want to hear your words. They want to come to your home and wash your car, clean your clothes, help you. One young boy, admiring my wife so much, came up to her and said, Ma, you are such an inspiration. I said, I wanted to be giving her money. No, I don't know whether you hear what I said. So you come, see my wife, give her a gift. My wife come at the time, come. What is all of this about? That he had learned that if he wants to tap her grace, he gives to her. You know, we've carried this Pentecostalism to a place where even the Muslim, we know we are mad. Listen, if you wanted to tap into her grace, you know how grace flows? Grace is spirit. It flows by words. The person that will tap my wife's grace, in fact, in the last few weeks, is Jedidiah. Because she snatched my wife for the last 2 weeks. Ah. Hey. I just mentioned her name and she showed up. She took my wife for the last 2-3 weeks. Before, when it's evening, my wife and I in the room talking to each other. Now, no, my wife is downstairs talking with Jedidiah. As they are losing, they were losing my wife's hair. And they were talking about everything. How do you do this? She was planning to get married the next few days. She must have asked my wife every question imaginable and the ones unimaginable. That's how you tap the spirit. Every night, if I got to a time when my wife comes and say, husband, are you angry with me? No, I'm happy with you. I'm rejoicing that you have neglected me for the last 3 hours. My spirit is enlarged and lifted. At the point in time, I said, you really like this Jejayasha? He said, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. She's just asking me questions. Okay, I'm coming. Oh, that's it. Then she will now use one trick. As if, are you going to lose my hair for me? Because I have to go and meet Jejayasha because she's the one that will lose the hair. Okay, Mrs. Banky, I'm not planning to lose your hair. Go and meet the person who shall lose your hair. Then someone will say that Jedidiah tapped anointing of Mrs. Banky. Why? Because she used to loosen her hair. You are very stupid. It's not the loosening of the hair. It's that while they were loosening the hair, they were always talking. So we think that Elisha tapped anointing from Elijah because he was serving him. Service is good, amen? Amen. And in fact, I said to you all the time, number one reason you need a job is you must learn. Number two, your character must be shaped. So one of the reasons why God said you must have a job in life is not because of money. One of the reasons is because there must be a place where you are learning something you did not know. Yeah, no, that's it. You must learn. Many of the things you know, they are lies. They are not true. They are not true. So God says, no problem. Go to that office. Go and work there. They will tell you how to do things. I told you, when men left university those days, I listened to different men of God who learned best around 1989, between 88 and 92, thereabout. They left campus vibrant. No, did I say 88 and 92? Sorry, I'm wrong. I meant between 85 and 90. Because I left 91. These are people who left before me. Yes. That period. And one man was speaking, one of them. But no, Pastor Paul, he was telling the story. Describing many of those men, and this is an interesting, not many of them did very well in ministry. Let's just assume we all know what well is, even if we don't. Let's just assume. One who was steady, made steady progress. He said when he was leaving, he decided to go to, Bishop Wedekwa's ministry, then Kaduna. And his friends asked him, what are you going to that place to go and do? What do they know that you don't know? Are you following that? Young boys. The guy said, they will teach me seriousness in life. Do you understand my point? Which is something, listen, discipline is something that's lacking in a lot of young Pentecostals. They are indisciplined. We're talking today, by the time a lot of people arrived for Israel and Jediah's wedding, the wedding was over. What happened? They said they didn't go to a Pentecostal church. That was what happened. Try and wed in most Pentecostal churches. If they say service is 9, by 10:30, the pastor is not in his tie. They now come in looking very holy and spiritual, worshiping the Lord. We worship. God just said, look at you people. You said 9 o'clock. 10:30, you are worshiping. Generally, Pentecostals, generally, I'm not saying all of them, generally, they are indisciplined, they are short-sighted, they want immediate gratification. He starts ministry today, tomorrow he wants to build a cathedral. Things that Catholics don't do, Anglicans don't do it. And that is why the Catholics will be there for hundreds of years. The Anglicans are there for hundreds of years. Pentecostal churches, they are like businesses. For every 10 you start, after 5 years, 9 don't collapse. Most of them don't survive. Why? Indiscipline. Not like they were not called. That man said, they will teach me how to be disciplined in my life. And listen, that was the key to his own success. Many people, their problem is that because it's their thing, it's their business, they sleep when they like, wake up when they like, spend money the way they like. Nobody's asking them. And God said, go somewhere where you have to account for every kobo. Because you are a righteous man, you won't steal. So go there and start accounting for money. That will teach you. No, God said like this. If you are not faithful in that which belongs to what? Another person. Who will give you your own? That is, God sends you into the field that belongs to another. So there you will learn faithfulness. Do you get what I'm saying? So how therefore did Elisha tap into the spirit of Elijah? It was not that he poured water on Elijah's hands and Elijah now said, for serving me this well, I will give you anointing back. No. That's what the Bible calls being a vessel made ready for the master's use. Elisha could only receive that anointing because he was ready for it. And now do you get ready? It's simple. He told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Are you getting my point? Number one way you get ready is by instruction. I say to you, when the Bible says that it was that Elisha that was pouring water on the hands of Elijah, what he was saying is that the person Elijah taught the most was Elisha. After all, Gehazi poured water on the hands of Elisha. But he was not listening. He wasn't paying attention. He was not ready for the master's use. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they threw him out of being useful for the master. He ran after money, fell in love with the present world, and lost the anointing that could have been passed down from Elisha to him, which began with Elijah. What am I trying to say? The way by which that anointing passes is not this your money seed. No. No. It is when the instruction of the word of God is passing into you. Jesus said, the letter kill it. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What does it mean? When I'm speaking, when you're hearing A, B, C, D, R, O, all those syllables and those things, they don't mean anything. It is what they carry, the spirit that gives life. He said, the word that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that transfers the anointing. So as the word is coming forth, it's actually carrying something. And if somebody's heart is open, it's receiving that thing and making you ready for that blessing. So when somebody gets up in the morning and says, let me go and sow a seed into the life of a rich man, that fellow doesn't know anything. Ibukun Awosika said something once. I heard it reported to me that many young men are looking for work. That if a graduate will agree and drive me for a few years, let me summarize, let me put everything he's saying together with in my own words. That you are a graduate, come and be my driver for a few years. I will make you very rich. I won't give you money. Just driving me around, you will learn how to do business. Just driving me around, you will learn how to make investments. Just driving me around, you will hear words that will transfer your brain, all right, from the level of poverty thinking, all right, into the level of prosperity thinking. Just driving me around. Said, just, that is, those were her words. You are a graduate, you want to do business, you're looking for work. I have a job for a driver. Take it. It will change your life. That's Ibukun Awosika. For those who don't know Ibukun Awosika is, just go to the internet and just type in Ibukun Awosika. If you cannot spell it, it is IbiKunAwosika. If you watch this, is it Dragon's Den? What's that one? The Dragon's Den. Okay, Dragon's Den, Nigeria. She's one of the people there. What was she saying by that? I could give you money, but that one has nothing. But let me talk with you for a few years. Whatever it is that made me into what I am today, I will pass it into you by talking with you. That is why one man can make multitudes rich. Doesn't have to give them money. He's just talking to them. He's just talking to them. That's how anointing flows. This we have missed the whole thing up. We think you want a rich man's anointing, you give to him. No, that's crime. You are depriving the poor.
If it's a man you are supposed to honor him. The honor I owe some of these very rich men, you know, in the world now, today, if I met them, all right, is to stand and greet. I don't know whether I get my point. That's all. They are seniors, I carry their back for that temporary period. Give them money. For what? Is it my pastor? Is it my father? Have I been buying his books and it's been transforming my life? No. But if I see Bishop Oyedepo today with all the money he has, if I see him today, I will empty my pocket like Melchizedek, like Abraham, and give to him. Why? There was a time that all I fed on, apart from my Bible, was his teachings. It does not matter now that he's... Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a reason. It's the man taught the word, all right? Giving to the man who taught. So that would be my excuse. But if Otedola was beside him, Otedola ain't getting 5 kobo from me. Why? He's just a rich man. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will give him the respect as a ruler amongst the people. If we are together, I'll carry his bag. I will open his door. If there's only one seat in the car, I'll let him take it. I'll give him that respect. It's right. It's not as if it's not because of money. I'm recognizing that this man employs thousands of people. How many people do I employ? I don't know whether I get my point. It's not about if one man I don't recognize shining all over, driving a Rolls Royce Phantom, stops on the road and say, Papa, I should move. Me with my Kia Optima. I will tell, come and move the car now. His Phantom is not going to move me. I don't know if I get my point. If I'm on the road, you're driving a Rolls Royce Phantom. If you honk for me recklessly, I will stop there. I'll come and say, my friend, be careful yourself. Especially, I now discover that you are young, which makes me suspect that it's your father that owns the car. If I will block the road, you ain't going anywhere until you learn to respect your seniors. So I'm not expecting that if I tell you I respect some men, it's not because of their money. It's that I recognize if a man is boss over 1,000 people, he deserves your respect. He's called a ruler amongst the people. He's a ruler. And you know, oh God, many things to say. I'll let you understand, you know, later on, maybe one day I'll share it along the line. I was reading David Servant. Was this David Servant or somebody else? He said the worst slave you find in the Bible. He said the modern equivalent of an employee. I'm not making an issue here, all right? Just trying to get something out here. So when you read the Bible about slaves, many of us are still slaves. Some are slaves to the federal government. Some are slaves to the American government. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm not at an issue here. So sometimes in the Bible also, you see the word rulers. I'm trying to draw parallels. So Paul said, I did not know he was a ruler when he spoke harshly against the high priest. He said, sorry, you know, when he's a ruler, you treat with respect. If you get to an Islamic community, whether you believe in Muhammad or not, if the imam talks, be silent. He's a ruler amongst the people. So if I see a wealthy man who employs thousands, he's also a ruler. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He may not have a political office, he has an economic office, which makes him deserving of respect. So I give that fellow respect. But beyond that, I don't owe him money. Especially if he's certifiably rich. I don't owe him money. If I have to give the Holy Spirit to tell him he's broke, forget his smile on his face. But I will not give to him that I want to tap into his grace to prosper. It's arrant nonsense. If I wanted to tap into his grace to prosper, I would make friends with him. Which club do you go to? Oh, I'm a member of Enugu Sports Club. I'll go and join the club. I don't know whether I get the idea. Let's talk on natural plane now. I become his friend. We start discussing things. If he's my mate, if he was my senior, and I hear that his driver just left, I tell my wife, tell my children, there's a driver's job open. I'm coming. How can you be a... Say, don't worry. When I have driven, I shall come back as gold. Do you understand my point? I go and meet the man. Good morning, sir. What is the problem? Yes, no worry. Everything is safe. Take good care of your cars. And don't start talking. Some people don't know. They'll be talking too much. You don't need to talk too much. Just be driving and start listening. Be listening. Jesus, as a 12-year-old, did not talk. We used to think that he was teaching the people. He didn't teach them anything. The Bible said they marveled at the kind of questions he asked. even that he was teaching the elder. He didn't teach the elders anything. Go and read it. The Bible says that they opened their mouth when they heard the kind of questions he asked. I want to just be driving. Keep your ears open as they are talking. The man owns an aircraft. You know about landing rights, flying rights, landing fees, you know, takeoff fees. And then after a while, you know, the first time you see money, as a businessman, when they say, okay, I'll pay those people 7 million, it's like, why? Why should I pay some people 7 million? They go. You know, like, no, we can't pay. That meanwhile, you are moving your company towards poverty. You are not paid. You know why? It's not your fault. The largest amount of money you have ever personally paid is 125,000. You now say you pay 7 million. One day I went to see one brother in his office. Then he was working at Coca-Cola. He was sitting in for his boss, and the people just came in. That erosion is serious. We'd have to do like 6 million. And this was a guy was my classmate in university. I was looking at him like, are you serious or are you joking? So like, oh, God, so please approve the 6 million. We want to go and start spending it. He said, that's not the problem. Okay. He was, I'm like, the gentleman will sign how many millions like that? In my mind, though, on the surface, I just like say, it's a common thing. We all have these millions. My mind, I was like, what's going on here? No, really, the first time you get to some levels, that's why some people still criticize till today. When they hear that Bishop Oyedepo say anytime he travels abroad, you know, anytime I travel abroad, maybe so. You can't even buy one keke napep. It's not as if I travel abroad, I'm just going to say, like, by the time you buy flight ticket, maybe two, one Okada, how much is it? But when Bishop Oyedepo travels once, that money builds a duplex. See, this guy lift up me, I'm like, what did you say? Each time he travels once, by the time you cast the cost of landing this thing and the cost of aviation fuel for a private jet, travel across the Atlantic, that's enough money to put up a decent house. So the first time you go to a company, they say, all right, we'll go like this. They say, no, everybody, go and queue at the airport. You'll miss all the deals. They will sack you. Because you're not used to spending that level of money. But if you have been with a man doing it, that's why I'm talking about the story, you've realized how you have to break an egg to make an omelette. You understand? You can say, this egg is so precious. We love the egg. Let's keep the egg. Say, but sir, we need omelette. No, we can't just be breaking eggs like that. Sir, how do we get the omelette now? So let's just try and pray about the omelette coming. But this egg must not be broken. But you break away from such things, all right? By just being with some people. That's how anointing flows. I thought one of the ways by which God broke all these people driving for money, how God ended it in my life, when I finished youth service, God just said, Banky, go to Lagos. Stay with your auntie a short while. I had to work for a whole month to earn 5,000 naira. Then as we're about to enter the canteen, we say, please hold this for me. We'll give the manager when we get there. What is that? It's a pair of shoes. I want him to test it. Okay. How much is it? 25,000. Yeah? What did you say? Let me carry the second pair. This one looks fine. How much is this one? That one is 50. Post NYC doctor, I was working 30 days to get 5,000. Men were walking into shops, testing shoes, wearing them, paying 25 and walking out. And some Christian would say, don't mind them. They are going to hell. They are not going to hell. Forget all of this nonsense. They are not going to hell. As long as they didn't steal the money. Me, I was looking. What? I still remember them. I said, this car looks nice for you to carry my wife and my children. And the man counted cash. I was present. 2 million naira of 1994. Who? I was to get 5,000 and then to work 30 days. And the fellow who brought that deal, who brought the buyer, I still remember I was there when they paid that guy and he was grumbling. They counted 35,000 naira and paid him 7 months alawe. So I told God, in this life, let's come to an agreement. Either you bless me or I die poor. No option. I will never struggle for money. Yeah. That, no, you know, some people come out with different things. You think I will now begin? No, I didn't love money. I just realized that either God blesses you or you're dead meat. So you want to prosper in life? Pray. I'm telling you the truth. I realized that those who were prospering, they were not prospering because they were working. Because I had a friend who was working 24 hours, 24/7 to buy a Honda Quintet. He was working 24 hours to buy a used Honda Quintet. Okay, some of you don't even know what Quintet is. You know Honda Civic? Divide it into two. Three different places. 8 to 3, 3 to 8, 8 to 8. Because you're a medical doctor. And then I finished that experience. And what was I doing for my auntie? I was a driver. Funny enough, you know, the way God arranged it, I was her driver. It's my relative, you understand? It's just like her driver left. Just say, Vanky, are you going out this morning? No, ma, I'm just relaxing. I'm reading something. Come now, please now. Please, I want to go to the embassy. Will you drive? You know, I've not been feeling well. I said, auntie, no problem. I carried the car keys. After a week, she got used to it. So every morning, I started dressing up. Where are we going today? Okay, we'll go to Ikeja. From Ikeja, then we'll take the express. We'll come down at the third mainland. Then after that, we should go down to Western Avenue. We'll rest more. That time, I chop beast up bigs. Well, you know. You're going down. And they just say, are you not hungry? Auntie Bly say, I'm hungry. We all pack one better joint. Now, this is just this. But the point is that these are the kind of things you learn from pouring water. It is not you gave money. I was just driving. That was what poured anointing into the life of Elisha. Because he was always present as Elijah was dropping the substance. I hope you've gotten my point. What I'm going to all of that, people make the mistake, say, you want anointing from the hands of a man who has prospered, give money to him. It's not true. You give to those who have blessed you. You give to those that God says you should honor. And most importantly, you give to those who have less than you have. Those are the three people you give to. If the people have more than you, they have to qualify either because they were blessing with the word, or two, you were commanded to honor them. If you were in school, your uncle, your father took good care of you. Now you have prospered. Even if he still has more than you, he's somebody you are commanded to honor and a man who was a blessing. Is a way by which you tell God, thank you. But I want something from somebody. No, you don't give to them. That is spiritual manipulation. It's witchcraft. It's the same thing as bribery. I want all of that bringing out something. We must love righteousness. We must love the doing of right. We must love it. It must be a driving thing in our heart. How do I do right? And once I have done right, even if I get killed for it, it's still okay. Don't forget, heaven exists though. One day, every single one of us will stand before the judgment throne of Christ. And nobody will ask whether you used jewelry, or you had weave on, or you had makeup. They will ask, did you do the assignment that we asked you to do? Did you do righteousness when we said do righteousness? Or you were looking for a reward. You were looking for results. What have I said? Listen, those who are actually going to get a reward from God, they never seek it. They seek righteousness. And every other thing is added unto them. The Lord is good. I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, shout aloud, amen.